Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bishop.
Braden Holtby!
Summertime, all night and day. Blue Liners on the microphone with Anna Kay. All fans in cap one, they say that we're well qualified to represent the DMV. The Chris and Bernie run to the fountains and drink from the cup for free.
How you like them whiskey sour apples? Yes, hello and welcome. It is the Blue Liner on Point, coming to you live to tape from beautiful Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it is indeed summertime in the DMV. And we're rocking out to you with the Power Play Point podcast, the summertime cup-winning edition of it. And with me, of course, as always, as I cut the music, is Centerville's own beautiful, wonderful, the Mermaid Mentalist, Fairfax's finest, the teaching prodigy. She'll teach you a lesson if you don't watch out. Anna Knox.
Yes, sir. I am here. And that, yeah, didn't, there you go. Can't go wrong with the Sublime intro. I'll
Most definitely. And fittingly enough, I first heard that song in 1998 on the Capitals' first ever Stanley Cup run then. And it was indeed summertime then as well. I was proud of them. Of course, didn't win the big prize, but that was great. Okay, so we've been off a week. Had to take some time off. Yeah, both had to take some time off that postseason while it was a ride of sheer joy. Took a hell of a lot out of me. So
yeah, are you on the down of the what do they call it? A down slope or whatever when it's
Of the high? Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, coming down. Yeah. And you gotta work the energy back, and that's kind of what I had the problem with. But I think I'm all set now. So Anna, how'd you spend your week? I know school was wrapping up for you.
Yes, so school finished, and it was a really, really good. It was a good year. It was a good year at a new school, new staff, new kids, and I couldn't be happier. It was a good move for me. So that ended, and the same week that it was the last week of school was when the swim team started. So I was going to school, then going to the pool, and then coming home and, you know, just kind of crazy. But now that there's no more school, I am on the pool deck from pretty much 9 to 11 every day. And Wednesday evenings for meets and Saturday mornings. So that's where I'm at right now. Basically, I've taken off my hockey attire, and I am living 24/7 in a bathing suit, pretty much. Sunscreen. And that's about it.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
There's an image.
Lose
your lunch.
I was not even going to go there, and, mm-hmm. and I was gonna be polite, on both ends of it. Now that you mention it, yeah, it is the time for that. Understand, you've been taking. I caught some posts from your Instagram account. Understand, you've been taking in some other sporting events, in particular the U.S. Open golf tournament, if I saw correctly.
Yeah, no, I've always loved golf. I totally suck at it, except I play a pretty competitive mini golf game, so that's kind of where I draw the line. And I can handle the driving range, but other than that, I think I'm just fascinated by it. I don't know. I just if people find it boring, I'm really into it. So yes, I've been watching a lot of weekend golf, kind of being a bum a little bit, but God, it was really, really hot here. And it's like, why didn't I go to the pool? I'm like, because I'm on the pool deck all the time, and sometimes even then the pool water feels a little too warm and it's not really refreshing. So yeah, so I've been doing that. I don't know, just kind of enjoying the summer. It's been a good couple of days off, which is, and I got a new car.
Sweet.
Right? I retired the minivan because it was a minivan. And
Too much of a mom image for you.
Well, exactly, because every mom has a minivan, and there are those moms that have it out of just the sole purpose that it serves a purpose. And then there's the moms that are like, it's the most amazing car ever. I'm not that mom. And I never will be. So, yes, we got rid of it because I told my husband that I was like, you know what? If I'm driving this minivan, I'm gonna start wearing mom jeans and maybe get like that mom haircut and blend in with everybody else. And that's just not me.
No,
So we agreed. It's totally not
that is
me.
so not you at all. At all.
No. So we decided to do a Honda Pilot, and I'm super excited with it.
Not bad. Can't go wrong with a Honda.
You just can't. So now I'm waiting because, the minivan, the saving grace was all Centerville and just anybody in this area would be like, hey, there's that bitchy minivan with that huge cap sticker that took up like the whole back window. And I loved it, but I had to take it off because the guy's like, it's not gonna sell. I'm like, listen, jerk, don't make me take out your kneecaps. It's gonna sell. But no, so we took it off, and now I've got to wait for Ian because I think now I want a cup and something, a different kind of design on the back window. So that's where I'm at.
He would be the man for that.
He would. He would.
But getting back to the golf tournament, I understand there was a lot of controversy, and I'm not going to talk about that. But there was also that ref, Garrett Rank, who qualified for the final cut. But where I mean, did you, where was that played? Wasn't it the course name? Trying to think of it. Wasn't it called Shiny Cock? Is that the name of the course?
I think you have it down right perfectly. I think that's exactly what it's called.
It really is called Shiny Cock.
And you
Ser
know,
seri seriously?
there's memberships available, and
To
yeah,
a place. To a place.
you can work on your stroke, and you're good to go.
At a place called Shiny Cock. How appropriate.
It is.
Okay
And
then.
no one seems to care.
I guess not.
Unless you're like myself, who has to listen to the commentators just because whenever there's a commercial break and then they have to come back and you're like, I'm sorry, could you say that name one more time? What was the
Shiny
name again?
cock.
Not you, with the commentators on TV, because sometimes they have an accent, and their accent I can handle because it's like New Zealand or something and Scottish. Anywho, so yes, my PGA thing has nothing to do about shiny cocks, but it has to do with an enjoyment, which could go along with that name, but that's okay. You asked for it. It's been like 2 weeks. We've been drinking 2 weeks. I gotta come out like, ready to go. It's like I've been holding this in. You missed me. You missed me.
They missed us. But yes, I missed you. Okay. All right. So,
Hockey.
lot of goings on in these last 2 weeks that we let pass by. Going to try and cover the good majority of it. Shall we say, some personnel changes, mostly.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and get into it. We'll start with the draft that mm-hmm. took place over the course of this past weekend.
Right.
Caps had 6 picks, and the most notable of which I would say was their first rounder. They got to pick, as is customary for a Stanley Cup champion, they had the last pick in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that to choose a guy by the name of Alexander Alexeyev.
Mm-hmm.
Originally from Russia, St. Petersburg to be exact, but spent the last year in Western Hockey League, Junior League, one of several major junior hockey leagues in North America,
mm-hmm.
playing for the Red Deer Rebels. He is a defenseman, 18 years old, 6'4", some list him at 6'3", goes about 196 pounds, left-handed shooter on D. A lot of good things I'm hearing about him. I saw the tape of his first interview with the media. He looked very relaxed, very personable. There was that funny story about how the director of scouting, Ross Mahoney, met him eating an ice cream and kind of teased him about that, and he was okay with that. It really, really, really great personality, and I think he'll fit in well as long as he develops nicely. Mrs. Blue Liner did some homework on this guy even before I was able to. Said she read some reports that he has a decent game, decent puck-moving game, styles his game after Victor Hedman, which is pretty good. Not overly physical, but can learn to be so, needs to, above all else, develop his body a little more because he doesn't look all that filled out.
Sure, he's 18.
I get that he's 18, but yeah, I mean, I think the words she used were
scrawny.
Might be able to knock him over with a feather if you hit him just right, something to that effect. But like you said, he's 18. He needs to fill out. He's going to have a few years to take care of that. I think he'll take care of that just nicely. And we've got
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, I know how much this last season I was this big Rana supporter, and I still am. And in the beginning, there was this kid is, 19, 20 years old. You know, he's just a kid. I mean, he really is a baby face. But there were times with him that it's, the speed and the skill level was there, but him going up against, NHL vets was a little eye-opening for him. But look at how the season ended. So I think with this kid, it's, Ovechkin called him, and that I thought that was a very sweet interaction between those two on FaceTime, because Ovechkin's like, how come you're so nervous? I was like, well, holy crap, I'm probably, talking to my idol, and I'm going to be playing with him, I'd be nervous too, kind of thing. But I feel like, there's the fact that he's calm and was well-spoken in the media, which can kind of throw people off a little bit, shows a side of maturity, and I have a feeling once he's on the ice, he's going to be total, horse blinders and super focused on whatever it is that they say. So I don't doubt that he's going to be using his height. They're going to use his height as an advantage and to get him, lifting weights and whatnot. He'll be just fine in a couple months for sure.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. And the developmental camp has already started. I think today is the first day, and of course he's an attendee along with several other notables, draft picks from the past that have also attended in the past as well, such as Lucas Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be there as well. He's not a lock to make the roster, I don't think, but I would say look for him in the future. But getting back to the draft, There were five others that were chosen by the Caps. Second pick that they got, pardon me. Now this, I can't remember if this is the pick they got. But the Caps actually made a deal. They swung a deal, more on this in a little bit, but they swung a deal with Colorado that sent Brooks Orpik and Philip Grubauer to them in exchange for their second round pick. So it was, they actually ended up with the 46th and 47th picks in the draft, and one of them was the one that they picked up from Colorado. But the first of the two they used to pick up a guy by the name of, and I'm just going to call him, his first name is Martin. I'm just going to call him Martin February because I have no clue how to say his last name.
Okay.
He's from Slovakia. He's another D-man, 6'2", 194, left-handed shooter. Looks pretty good, pretty mobile as well. Pretty good mindset as well. That's the thing you're going to find. It was the theme for the draft pick. Alexeyev lost his mother earlier in the year, and kept playing, dedicated his game to her, but kept on playing, weathered through that, and that's really tough when you're that age to have something like that happen. But the Caps went for character as much as anything in this draft, and you really see it with these picks.
Which is good, because I feel like, you want to root for the players in the team that, not just skill level and not just, their stats, but on a human level. I mean, this guy's a kid, and he's, definitely away from his homeland and having to learn another language. And then, you don't have your mom. So there's a lot of things that people are going to be pulling for him for all the right reasons. But that's where I think a lot of this, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to jump ahead before it, but I'll probably forget what it is. But remind me. Do you like, what were you going to say? Anyways, yeah. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's it's building character, and is, it's also part of becoming an athlete. You're going to be interviewed and whatnot, and you want fans to rally behind you and all that kind of stuff. And it only works in your benefit to come out and share, your story, or whether good, bad, everyone's been through something. So there's another 18-year-old kid out there who might have also recently lost his mother, who may look up to this kid. And I think that's awesome. It's a good connection.
Definitely. Definitely. So they had the 47th pick right after, and they used that to pick up a guy by the name of Cody Clark. If that last name sounds familiar, it should. He is the son of former NHLer Wendell Clark, which you and I and Chris, the first time we had him on together, we talked about him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got some good NHL bloodlines there. Cody Clark plays for the Ontario Hockey League. It's another major junior hockey league. The Ottawa 67s there. His stats were 56 games, 18 goals, 21 assists for 39 points and 38 PIMs in this most recent completed season. Pretty solid stats. Says he models his style of play after current Leafs forward Connor Brown. He's probably going to be a solid two-way winger, assuming he eventually makes it to the big club. Can give you some, obviously has a decent touch on offense, won't hurt you on defense, so a good all-around player, and obviously knows what it takes to make it in the NHL from learning it from growing up and watching it firsthand. Moving on, the very next pick in the very next round, they also went for a second generation NHLer, Riley Sutter, son of Ron Sutter, one of the famous six Sutter brothers. Say that five times fast. Another forward. He's pretty big for his age. 6'3", 203, shoots right.
That's, I think, of my whole little group, like, you know, looking at these kids coming up, he's the one that I'm going to keep my eye on.
Yeah, I think he's going to be he's to me a little bit. I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of him, but to me, on paper anyway, he seems to be a Tom Wilson 2.0. He's got he's got a decent scoring touch. Doesn't mind the physical game at all. Can initiate it when he needs to. He's a big guy, plays big. Doesn't shy away from contact at all from what I've seen. His most recent season was with the Everett Silvertips of the Western Hockey League. 68 games played, 25 goals, 28 assists, 53 points, 70 penalty minutes. So another solid contributor, I think, eventually, if he sticks.
I feel like Alex and Riley, those are the two that stick out, but I really feel like Riley is gonna be one because of that. He's got that physical end, he's got the height. They may not be totally thrilled with penalty minutes, but they may be okay with it because, you know, like you said, little Wilson 2.0. I'm okay with that. Bring it on. But I think
that's how I see him. But you know, once the coaching staff gets a hold of him, he may model his game a different way. But right now on paper, that's looks to be his trajectory. Anywhere from a first to third liner,
right?
Is where he can deliver. Okay, so with their fourth round pick, the Caps picked a goalie, Mitchell Gibson, and he is with the United States developmental team. 43 games played with them, 159 GAA and almost 2,500 minutes, 11 shutouts, 9.35 save percent, pretty impressive numbers. But of course, you know, he's going to be playing with more experienced level junior age opponents soon, if not pro. So yet to be seen. So he's probably at the very least, it takes goalies a while to develop. He's obviously not going to be a threat to Phoenix Copley or Ilya Samsonov just yet.
Right.
He's probably a good 3-4 years away at this point, I would say. But solid numbers, and he's been with the U.S. developmental program, which has been churning out some good people. So pretty optimistic about him.
Now, I was trying to do this quietly. I was putting ice into my water. Apparently, I can't do that quietly.
It's fine.
So you mentioned the camp. So they're allowing people to come to Kettler on Saturday, I think from 10 to 4, and you can get your picture with Stanley Cup. And you can also see the players.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, because and of course I was like, oh, I'm totally there. No, I'm not. I'm on the pool deck for a swim meet, a huge swim meet.
That sucks.
So totally, I'm like, all right, that's where the mom moment comes in, where I'm like, double angel. Let's see, do I go and support my swim team and my children, or do I go and be like, I'm not a Stanley Cup? And, you know, check out, you know, Riley and all these other guys, you know. But, yeah, there's no way. I just can't do it on Saturdays. It's just too hard for this in the next couple weeks. But, yeah, so that's exciting for people to go. And I think I went, God, last couple of years I've been. It's exciting to watch. It's, you know, it kind of gives you an idea on how they look on the ice. And it's definitely, you know, for me, I'm a big, you know, body language watcher and whatnot. So last time I saw it, I was like, this is, you know, it was really cool to kind of see who can hang with, you know, you're going to get initiated, as they say, and they want to see you give 110% with people watching and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, in the interviews, just to kind of see how you're going to handle yourself. So it's, if you get a chance to go, that would be amazing. And I would absolutely encourage anybody listening, if you get a Stanley Cup photo, please to share it on our Facebook page.
Oh, absolutely. Love to see that. Yes, please. Definitely. Okay. So, want to go over the last couple of, all right, so there were two more picks. The couple last couple of them real quick. Six-rounder, pick number 161, Alex Canuck-Liepert. Interesting guy. He's another D-man, a little small, right-handed shooting D-man, which is going to be work in his favor because you can never have too many of them. Interesting profile here. He was actually born in Thailand. But grew up in Western Canada, so another Western Hockey League pick. Played for the Vancouver Giants in that league last year. 60 games, 5-16-21, 5 goals, 16 assists, 21 points, 52 PIMs. Haven't heard a whole lot about him, other than the fact that he's he's Thai by nature, but other than his being a little small, he's another shot to make maybe eventually be a seventh D eventually, would probably be his high spot. He could surprise, but you never know. I would not be surprised to see him end up in Hershey for good within the next 2 years, and then we'll see. Thought I would mention him as well, a fellow Asian Canadian. let's see. All right, so the other pick, their final pick, is a forward by the name of Eric Florchuk. 6'2", 175, I believe. Also, yes, played with Victoria in the Western Hockey League. He's a center. Was ranked in the second half of the second 100 by Central Scouting. Needs to fill out left-handed shooting center. Heard he's pretty decent on faceoffs. Probably going to end up being a third or fourth liner if he makes it as far as the pros, the top level pro. So we'll see, but he'll also be in developmental eventually. They seem to be high on these Western Hockey League prospects, because they're a lot of good talent comes out of there, and that's good talent pipeline. So notice that. But it's a guy's name is Eric Florchuk again. So another to keep an eye on. Look for him. I would say if you're in Chocolate Town, in the next 2-3 years, he'll probably crack the roster there, assuming he's still in the pipeline. Which I think they should take a chance on him a bit, look him up. So that's the draft, and like I said, they went for as much as talent and potential, they also went for character, a lot of character guys there. So looks to be a good-looking crew, and for once, two Brookses in the organization, now we have none, and we have three Alexes. And one who... Well, I'm not going to go there.
We don't know yet.
right. So, okay. So that's that winds up the draft. Sorry, we didn't have too much time to go hardcore into that information, but I believe Bernie Deal in True Caps Fans had some information there. So search through the postings there for that. I highly recommend it. I'm sure he'll have more information in the days to come. About these guys, and of course you can catch them at developmental, as Anna said. So that'll wrap up that part of the coverage. Okay, so on to the major happening that took place in the last 2 weeks, and that was of course the fact that, well, as of right now, the Washington Capitals do not have a head coach because Barry Trotz decided to resign. So here are the facts as I know it. Apparently, he had it in his contract that in his final year, I don't know if it was in his final year or at any time, if he had won, if the Caps had won the Stanley Cup, and a two-year extension was to automatically kick in, that would automatically raise his salary by $330,000 a year for both of those 2 years. Well, Coach Trotz decided that that was not good enough for a Stanley Cup champion. So, and this, okay, so the rest of it here, that's the fact that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it, well, okay, so it looks like to me that the team decided to tear up that part of the contract and try to renegotiate with him. I haven't seen it enough to substantiate that, but
right.
I think we can take it on faith that's what happened. So assuming that's what happened, this now comes the speculation, because nobody really knows what happened in the negotiation.
Right.
So we're just gonna skip to the end part, which is the fact that assuming they did negotiate, obviously the terms that either side were looking to find, they could not meet in the middle. And
right.
and so they decided, it looks like they mutually decided this isn't going to make sense, or at least Trotz decided for himself, this isn't going to make sense. Thank you for the opportunity. I resign.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, within about, I think it was 48 hours at the most, he ended up being hired by the Islanders. So he is now their head coach.
Right.
So regardless of... And it's been talked about, trust me, it's been talked about to death, at least on True Caps fans and elsewhere, who was in the right and who was in the wrong. I will proffer my opinion, and that was the fact that while, yes, both sides did have an agenda, meaning that it is possible that both Trotz never felt like he was going to 100% commit, and the Caps may have decided he wasn't going to be their guy after this year. Either way, they at least tried to negotiate. I don't blame Coach Trotz at all for going for the money, and I'll tell you why. It's because he has a special needs child. His son, Nolan, I believe, is set to graduate high school this year, either this year or next. It's very hard to uproot a family, but I think he went for the bucks to take care of his family. That's what he had in mind. And the going rate for a Stanley Cup winning coach, I'm sorry, is at least $3.5 million per year. And
mm-hmm.
they were not going to pay him that. They just weren't going to pay him that. Well, they weren't going to pay him what he was asking, which was quite a bit more than that. I think what he was asking was, what he ended up getting was $4 million a year,
right?
From the Islanders. I think he was asking for $5 million a year, which again, for a Stanley Cup winning coach, is I think reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided that if you're not going to meet my needs, I am going to go elsewhere and see if I can have them met by another organization, which he did, which he's well within his right to do. I'm upset that we're not going to have, I think, the guy on the bench that held things together for the whole year from start to finish. You may not have agreed with his tactics, and I'll admit I didn't at times, or his roster selection, but I think he was the guy that spiritually held this team together all the year long, especially through the bad times. So I'm a little more than a little upset that he won't be returning. But I don't blame him for going for the money for the reasons that I said. I can totally sympathize with him having a special needs child, trying to take care of that aspect. So that's my two cents of it. What did you think of that whole thing, Anna?
On a personal level, I was really, really bummed to see him go, because I felt like he was, in my eyes, a coach that was truly just in sync with the players. You know, they were like family to him. And you can just tell. And the way he can talk about players, he understood what they were going through off the ice and everything else. And so I felt like, you know, I was sad to see that part of it. But then again, you know, bottom line, it's a business. And unfortunately, this is what happens with coaches, and I never really agree with it. I kind of felt a little disappointed on the Capitals management end of it that I thought he was only asking for 4, to be honest. To go from 1.8, he was going to ask for 4. And to just say, like, oh, but we'll give you $300,000. Even though you coached, you know, 1 Stanley Cup, I'm like, well, there are players on his team that are making more than that. You know, it was kind of like, I don't know. So I honestly feel like he left before they had the final say. Like, he was able to go out, you know, had the final word, didn't leave on bad terms. Of course not. But it's a business, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we can only hope for the next 5 years that, you know, like you said, his son and his wife and, you know, the family and whatever are happy, you know, as much as you can be with the Islanders. And I don't mean that as a dig, but I'm like, I want to see him be successful, but not against our team. But overall, I'm sad to see him go. But, you know, so now, if we have Reardon come up and step up, I'm only hearing positive things from the players about their opinion on him. I don't think it's going to be fair. It's never fair to compare coaches or athletes. It's just, but unfortunately that happens. You know, you're going to say like, oh, this quarterback goes out on an injury and you bring in the backup, so let's go ahead and compare. And this goalie goes out and, you know, and everyone compares. I feel like Washington Capitals fans, diehard fans, whatever, we need to give, you know, back 100% to who I think is going to be the next head coach, which is Todd Reardon. You know, we're going to give him a shot as let's see what he does. I mean, he knows the players. The players seem to support it. And at this point, you know, there's something else we can do about it.
Yeah, I get all that. I at first, well, no, not at first, because it still kind of lingers. But I'm like you, I'm a little upset with management because I think they could have done a better job. I think both sides definitely came at this with an agenda, but more so management and ownership did because I think all along they had no intention of bringing Trotz back unless he accepted that 2-year extension. I kind of get that, yes, they didn't want to be tied for him. He was also asking for 5 more years. I get that, apparently, we don't know, but I get that they didn't want to be tied to him for too much term or too much money, you know, although... Well, they signed Brooks Orpik to that long, enormous contract.
Right.
So, I mean, you kind of contradict yourself there, but...
Well, then that's just it. It's like, I don't know if it really truly comes down to then a personality conflict or whatever it is, because I feel like when you're looking at the numbers and you're making 1.8 and they're giving you only $300,000 for 2 years as a bonus for winning the Stanley Cup... What else is there? Like, and to come back like any other coach or athlete would with an absolute negotiation, and it's like, nope, total shutdown. I don't know. To me, it seems a little bit fishy, to be honest. So I'm like, there's got to be other stuff.
Yeah, here's the thing. They knew the Islanders' job was open. So if they were serious about keeping him, they would have offered him something comparable, I would have thought.
Right.
Given the fact that he eventually took a deal that was for $4 million a year. But yeah. I don't think that they did. Now, we'll never know for sure because, of course, it was all done behind closed doors. But I just, if they had offered him something that was even somewhat palatable, I think he would have. I would like to think that he would have stayed, but I don't. I really don't think that they did. I really don't think he did.
You can't blame him. I mean, and that's what I mean. Like, it's at that point you can't say like, okay, listen, I've been doing this for 16, 17 years. I've, you know, been with the Caps for, you know, a handful of years, to be honest, and has taken a team that everyone is going into like, oh, they do so well until, and shit, like they won the Stanley Cup, and for him to be, you know, running up and down the streets of DC with the parade and, you know, just overly excited for every, I mean, to me, I just felt like I felt bad for him because I really thought, here's a guy who, you know, everyone's like, oh, get rid of him because he doesn't know what he's doing. And everyone, you know, and that's like the worst. You have all these fans against you. And, you know, the, like I always call them, the couch coaches that want to put their two cents in and throw him under the bus. But it's like, this guy knew what he was doing. And look at the result. And then look at how we rewarded him. You know, so that end of it, that business end of it sucked. And I really disagreed with because I saw a coach that was vested in his players on, like you said, a spiritual level, on a human level. Like, come on now. Versus some of the hothead coaches that we see that I feel are just there for the paycheck. And, you know, so when it comes to Trotz, it's like, man, I'm bummed on a personal level to see him go. On a business level, he made the right decision.
Yeah, no, I and for once we're totally on the same page.
Oh my god,
yeah,
wait.
That's
stop. Pigs are flying. Fat lady's about to sing. We should end the show right here. till the next episode. Hi. To be continued. All right. No, we agree. That's about
okay.
It.
Okay. But yeah, I don't like at all the way management approached it. The optics are not good. It made me believe, at least for a while. So we're going to segue into the next big news item. But it made me believe, at least for a while, that they're setting the precedent that they're not going to pay for top talent. And so I was very, very worried about how they were going to handle the free agents. So we'll segue now into the other big story, which is that of the fate of one Mr. John Carlson. Fortunately, they were able to come to a deal, and John Carlson will remain a Capital unless they decide to trade him. Why, I don't know, they would do that. But John Carlson is under contract now for the next 8 years at $8 million per. Thank goodness. And I think the whole, most of the fandom breathe a collective sigh of relief. There, I found some nitwits on Twitter who... And I posted this in the Facebook room. There was one nitwit out there who basically said, "Oh, this is a classic overpay." who claimed to be a fan.
Couch coach.
Yeah, armchair GM. And you know, this is their time of year, so whatever.
No.
But I think for the most part, I would like to think that we, you know, Caps fans were glad to see this deal happen. I posted a note in True Caps Fans when word broke out that there was a provision where within the last week they were allowed to field calls from other teams who might be interested, and that had begun. I said something about, well, maybe his wife's ties to the community will help. Cement things here. Well, you have a lot of visions that come true, a lot of predictions that come true. For once, I'm going to pat myself on the back and say that, yeah, I think that had some part of it when you factor in her message that she posted. I believe it was on her Instagram account.
Yes.
And I'm gonna summarize here. Basically, she told the story of how they met in the D.C. area, and how they came to have build a family. One of their two children was actually born this playoffs year. There's that adorable picture of the baby sitting in the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And basically, she goes on to say that she's grateful to the organization. She's grateful for everything that has happened. Her whole family is here in the DMV area. You know her a little bit better. I think you've actually had contact with her a bit. So where does she lives in Virginia? I forget where though.
Right. Honestly, I think the last I heard that they were having a house built. I think them and the that was the Oshies. No, I couldn't tell you where she lives. I want to say McLean because that just seems to be the place. But there, what drew me to Gina Carlson? This is almost 2 years ago, I guess. She is very, very passionate about St. Jude's Hospital, and I kind of felt. Everything that she wrote about just was so, it was so genuine. It's like, you know, I had a niece that, you know, she didn't survive. And, so the whole like St. Jude's thing is, you know, any sort of childhood cancer or anything is going to hit home. But I felt like she was one that was somebody that you could reach out to and, was just really passionate about it. And there was a family that her and John were very much involved with, a family that had lost their child to childhood cancer, and they had raised this money. And that was part of the section I wrote about for Nova Caps about, you know, why, you know, being a Capitals fan is good for the soul, because I had this opportunity to go to this charity event that I felt very strongly about. And
now that you mention it, I was trying to steer just so you know, I didn't forget. I was trying to steer towards a segue to a plug to that.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
It's fine. It's fine.
You go right ahead and plug it, because that was very well written.
Thank you.
Continue.
Well, so I had a chance to go to this event, and it was at a bar, a pub in Arlington. And it was like, you know, this is just really, it was a perfect way to kind of come together. It was a small kind of more intimate setting kind of thing. And you could talk with the players, take pictures. They would sign anything, of, you know, whichever players were there that evening. And I just remember, you know, looking at Gina Carlson, and she's carrying around her son, and she's talking to everybody, and there was no awkwardness or whatever. And I had a conversation with John Carlson about, you know, just what it was, that what the charity meant to him, and it just felt so very natural. So I've always been on a personal level very supportive, and on the Carlson level, and then of course, as a Caps fan, I was kind of pulling for him in the beginning of the season. And I know you were not a huge fan of his. But I feel like he's another Ovechkin, you know, kind of coming into his own, whether, you know, it's the, you know, the birth of the second child kind of thing. And Ovechkin got married and now, you know, he's going to be a dad, whatever it is, they sort of have settled that into that role of leadership. So I applaud the Caps management end of it for keeping the vets that are going to be the amazing leaders and then bringing in these kids, you know, these 18, 19-year-old kids that have probably been following, you know, the Ovechkin, Carlson, you know, Oshie careers. And it's going to be a very good kind of family-oriented situation, you know, like a mentor, however you want to look at it. So, but I'm all for, like, you know, people are like, oh, you know, John Carlson for, you know, $8 million, like $64 million. Yeah, look what he did this last year. And I feel like he's just going to get better. And he's going to come into that leadership role. So I'm on board big time.
While it is true that, yes, I haven't always been his biggest fan, I have had my eye on him for some time. And there were, over the course of the last two, three seasons, there were flashes of brilliance that he showed. He could be a number one D, but what was missing, I thought, was a little more of the consistency. And I still think, unfortunately, his defensive game leaves something to be desired a little bit. But even that is starting to round out to be a little bit better, I think. But over the course of this season, I think he finally put together a full campaign, a full season's worth of consistent play on both ends of the ice. And yeah, you know, you can say, well, look, it was a contract year. Of course he's going to be at his best. Of course he's looking for the payday. But
no.
if you don't show what you've got, then at least, you know, you're never going to get to that status, which shows that he was hungry enough to want to be recognized that way and want to push his team towards a championship. And he was the driving force on ice, I think, with the power play and the offensive flow, I think, and just made absolutely certain that at least when they had the puck, they were going to get their best chance to play their best 200-foot game and get scoring chances over. And I think that's the engine that drives this team. So more than anything, he proved that over the course of not only the season but the playoffs as well. And so that clinched it. There were, like I said, signs of brilliance, but this year absolutely clinched it. And that's, if that's what it took, then I'm fine with that. I'm fine with him earning this amount. And for those of you out there that are saying, well, what about when he's in his mid-30s and we're still paying him $8 million? Well, guess what? When that time comes around, that won't really be actually much, because, A, the salary cap will have risen by then, and B, the economy will keep on pushing forward. Please, economy, keep on pushing forward, please. So much so that $8 million really isn't going to look like as much as it does now. So, and I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people, but in the end, I think he is definitely deserving. He should have been recognized as the team's number one D-man. Now he is. That kind of thing only adds confidence to the game. And if the new hire works out so that, as far as the coaching goes, they decide to go with Reardon, then I think that will solidify things even further, because you have a coach who knows how the D should be playing, and you have a legit number one D guy leading that end of it on the ice. So I think it's good all around for everybody. And getting back to his wife, thank God, and this is why, Anna, this is why I love that we have an influence like you on the show now, because things like this need to be taken into consideration always. And her ties, and you're pointing that out, her ties to the community are a key. So not only, like I said, good all around, not just for the team on the ice, not for the organization, but for the whole community. Good for everybody. This is a true win-win.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, she is so down to earth, and she's so very humbled, and so very, you know, she just was somebody that I really felt like I appreciated, you know, just everything that she did. And she was so very passionate about the St. Jude's. And I thought, you know, she's not just putting her name out there because, you know, she is married to John Carlson. She's putting it out there because she takes, you know, to heart childhood cancer and everything that it means. So, yeah, so it was definitely one of the best nights I ever had, and I'm glad that I went. And so knowing that is going into Carlson on 4th of July, and Bethesda is going to have the Stanley Cup. That's going to be his big thing. And it's to support the same childhood cancer that they're very passionate about. So, you know, it wasn't just something that was a couple years ago. No, that they've continued it, and I admire him that much more for, you know, letting people come to, you know, whether it's take pictures with him or the cup, and they're paying for it. The donations are going towards this, and hats off to them. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, you have to realize he could have, with his day with the cup, he could have taken it to his childhood home in New Jersey. But no,
right.
He is invested in not only the team, but in the community. And mm-hmm. that's something we have to point out here, because I don't think enough people see that these aren't just ice hockey players. These are members of our big community we like to call the DMV.
Right.
And that's something that should mean something to more people. So that's one of the reasons we do this show, because that's those little one of those things that you have to see, that you have to take into account of, and that I, you know, like you said, he's bringing the cup to Bethesda to raise awareness for that charity, and I couldn't be prouder of him for it. Now that all said, I am going to throw this one caveat into John Carlson and his game. Not only do I want to see his overall defensive game improve, but if I'm paying, and I'm saying it like I'm handing him the check, but if I'm paying him $8 million a year, which is still a lot of money, okay, this is what I want to see from him. I want to see more shooting and subsequently more goals, because he has one hell of a point shot.
Yeah.
And when he gets it on target, it is tough to stop. So again, I'm happy with his output, but for $8 million, I want to see a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 15 goals he got this year in the regular season, which I believe for him was a career high. I haven't checked just yet, but I think that was his career high. Mrs. Blue Liner's whispering in my ear that yes, that's the truth.
Right, and wasn't he also a top?
He was the top scorer. He was the top scorer among defensemen in the whole league this year. And can you believe he didn't make the All-Star game? I still can't.
Exactly.
But despite all that, I think he's capable of more. And if he shoots more, then he can get upwards of 20 goals or more, which is truly, truly the sign of a number one D-man with his skill. So I'm just putting it out there that that's kind of what I want to see out of him now that he's earned that contract.
I agree.
So that's the only kind of, you know, downside or whatever you want to call it that I'm going to slap onto that. Otherwise, I don't think this is a, you know, for reasons we've already beat to death in the last 10 minutes, that it's a bad thing that he signed that contract.
Agreed.
Okay, so there was one other subject I was going to go over. It's kind of a breaking news thing as of this morning. But I'm not going to talk about that. I think we're going to post that in the Facebook room later on, as opposed to give it some podcast time, because it's really a non-Washington Capitals issue. Okay. And that's the Hall of Fame inductions.
Right.
So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that in the Facebook room. I think this is a good place to wrap it up here. Now, there's the rest of the players that have expiring contracts that need to be dealt with. your boy Tommy. Pardon me.
I'm feeling confident about.
Well, he got a qualifying offer. So at the very worst, it's going to be extremely difficult and very, very unlikely that he ends up not in a Capitals uniform this year. I think they will definitely work something out. I will be shocked if they don't. But again, he got a qualifying offer, which means worst case scenario, his case goes to arbitration. I don't think it'll go that far at all. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, just wanted to touch on this, is Devontae Smith-Pelly. And this I also discussed with some fellow fans in True Caps fans. There was a bit of consternation about that. I admit, when I first saw that he wasn't going to be tendered a qualifying offer, I wasn't too happy about that either. But after some thinking, which is good, always good to do some thinking, I realized that there may be some strategy to that on the part of the team, in that, hey, they offer him, they tender him a qualifying offer, and his case goes to arbitration, and the arbitrator decided, okay, well, you scored several crucial goals in the playoffs. That increases your value. Congratulations, you are now the owner of a $3 million plus contract with the NHL. Guess what? The Caps are stuck with that.
Mm-hmm.
And while I love DSP, I don't think he's worth that much. He's worth a solid million, maybe $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I posted something in our Facebook room from Ed Frankovic of WNST showing how he budgeted the remaining money now that the Orpik was traded and all that, and the cap raise and all that was done. And I think that lays it out fairly well. He had Smith-Pelly making $1 million even, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's about right, considering his was, I don't know if it was a league minimum, but it was pretty substantially below that.
Yeah, it was. So, and at this point, I'm like, you know, we all want to keep the squad together kind of thing. And of course, it's the business, and this is how things go. But you know what? If we're going to give him $1 million, I mean, I'd love to see him stay, and I want to, and more so, I want to see Kempney sign.
I think he's another one that I can't see him walking away. The guy, other than Smith-Pelly, the guy I'm worried about is Jay Beagle.
I don't know
where he stands, and the fact that we have not heard very much is troubling, to say the least. And there's a report out there that the Vancouver Canucks are interested in signing him. So there is that. So unfortunately, that might be the one, you know, the one downside. But hopefully management can pull it off to where, you know, all of the pieces, or as much of them as possible, stays together. I don't want to end, well, there's another, oh boy, there's another down note now that I think about it, that we have to end the show on. But I'm going to stay optimistic that somehow, some way, the management finds a way to keep all the parts together. Beagle's one of those guys that you get a ton out of, but he brings a lot of value to the team, and not necessarily off on the ice, but on off the ice as well. So I really hope management takes that into consideration and finds a way.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'd be such an amazing mentor to these 18, 19-year-old kids that are, you know, coming in wide-eyed and, you know, he's just, I just love the guy. I feel like he is one of the hardest working athletes out there. And I just overall, like, I would love to see him, you know, one more year, just give him another year. And then if he had to retire, even though he's young, but whatever, I'd rather see him go out as a Cap, you know, than anything else. But to trade him would just break my heart.
Yeah.
Break my heart.
I think that would be, I would count that as a substantial loss. I think his work ethic alone is hard, something that would be very, very, very hard to replace.
Yeah.
So I really hope that they hang on to him, but, you know, it may not be looking good right about now, but we'll see. We'll see. There's some time there. Okay, so I mentioned something else that's way more of a downer, this unfortunately we're gonna end the show on. But I would be remiss, even though I didn't know a whole lot about this guy, but I'm hearing a lot of great things from not only the NBC Sports Washington personnel, but a few of our guys in True Caps fans who had the pleasure of knowing this gentleman.
Right.
Unfortunately, a few days ago, I can't find better words to describe it. There was a death in the family, as I would like to call it. And it was the NBC Sports Washington videographer Mike DeVenere. Passed away, unfortunately, earlier this week. And he's one of those guys that didn't go for the glory. He was a behind-the-scenes guy. So already, you know, his personality is something I'm already in love with. But this guy was, from all accounts, a joy to be around. Loved hockey. Played in an adult league as a goalie, and that's how Ron Deal, for one, that's Bernie's brother, got to know him, because they were on opposite teams and played against each other a lot. From all accounts, couldn't be a nicer guy. Kept everybody laughing. Just one of those guys that you love to be around. And it's, I mean, way too young. Passed away at 49. Got a feel for his family. And everyone from the chairman himself, Ted Leonsis, on down, offered their condolences.
Yeah.
And your boy Tommy was among those as well. I saw very nice kind words he had to say as well. But he was involved in a lot of the production on NBC Sports Washington as a videographer. A lot of the interviews that you saw, he helped set up. He was a big part of that. And so it, I don't know, a very, I wish, it's like Fred Candelari. I wish I had gotten to know this guy in life. Just a sad story, a big, big loss to the family, I think. So I wanted to mention that, even though unfortunately I never really knew him in life. I just wanted to put that out there, because here is, again, one of the guys in the organization that covered the Caps who, you know, it makes you want to cheer for the team that much more.
Oh, absolutely. And everything that I saw written about him, and my heart broke, because anytime you have to see, you know, somebody kind of putting out there their moments or their highlights with this person. But everything I read, I thought, oh my God, like, there is somebody that I would have had the best time with, because he just sounded like he was just full of life, and he was funny, and he was into heavy metal, and man, he loved the Capitals, and so that was amazing that he at least got a chance to see them, you know, win the Stanley Cup, and yeah, so, you know, on behalf of both of us, and, you know, our condolences to the family. I think he had a girlfriend. I can't remember hearing about it doesn't really matter either way.
Didn't hear much about a family, but he from everything I read, he lived life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And was just a great human being. One of those guys that made life worth living and you love to be around, and I really, really wish I'd gotten to know him in life, because, you know, there aren't too many of those people walking around.
Right.
I would think. So, yeah. I hate to end it on that kind of a note, but I would be remiss in mentioning that if I didn't mention that, as it were, because, you know, I really do think, from all accounts, it seemed like he was part of the family. So it is worth mm-hmm. mentioning. So
absolutely.
Okay. So even though we have that as our last subject, I would like to think, for the most part, it was another good week for the Stanley Cup champs, and so we're gonna start the summer off on a good note, I think. Now, July the 1st starts the free agent period.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot of signings in that first week, I would think. That's a Sunday. So I'm not 100% sure at this point if we're going to bother to record. I don't think we will, unless too many Capitals players are affected.
Right.
And I mentioned a couple of them right now. So I right now, I can't see that we're going to do a show. We might. I'm leaning towards no, to be honest. I might post kind of a poll if there's on the Facebook page. If there's other topics you guys want to talk to, I think we can fill out a full episode. But we're going to leave it up to you guys, kind of. if we're going to record next week, because I don't think there'll be much. We might hold off for a week or so. I just don't know yet.
Okay.
So we'll figure that out. We'll be incommunicado with all of our listeners again at the Facebook page. That's Power Play Point Podcast Facebook page, and we'll go from there. Okay. So for Anna Knox.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you, and I've had a lot of experience with this today alone, reminding you that euphoria is a lot better than diarrhea. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Got a laugh out of you that time.
Gross. So gross. So true, but so gross. Oh my God. All right.